But in heaven, there'll be this feeling of joy that will overcome us at every moment, every minute of every day, that we will just experience joy, and the pleasure will be for how long? Forevermore. Unending pleasure.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will begin a new series titled Beginning with the End in the Mind. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Heaven.
That there are a lot of concepts, a lot of presentations. It's ingrained in advertising. It's ingrained in Hollywood. It's ingrained in religious philosophies. And everybody has a different concept of heaven and about how we get there. This morning, we want to say this is what the Word of God says. And that, and I know there's a lot of people that take their theology from the movies, they take their theology from songs, but we pray today that you would be open to hear what the Word of God says about heaven. I knew that I was not going to be able to cover everything about heaven in the message this morning. So I did put together a little booklet that you can pick up on the way out from the ushers, and it's titled Answers to Your Questions About Heaven. And in this booklet that I put together, these are some of the questions that I answer. Is heaven a literal place? How old will we be in heaven? How old will babies who die be in heaven? Will we remember our earthly lives? Do believers become angels when they die? Will we recognize our loved ones in heaven? Will there be pets in heaven? When does the believer go to heaven? What kind of bodies will we have in heaven? Do people who commit suicide go to heaven? Do people in heaven know what's happening on the earth? Won't we be bored in heaven? Do believers have the same personalities in heaven as they had here on this earth? Will we be able to recognize different races in heaven? Is there marriage in heaven? What do people do in heaven? Will we eat in heaven? Will we sleep in heaven? Will we see God in heaven? Will we know if a loved one is not in heaven? What language will we speak in heaven? What gender will we be in heaven? Can the dead come back from heaven to speak to people on earth? And where is heaven? Now, some of these questions I'll answer this morning in the message, but if you want the answer to those questions, you're going to have to pick up this little booklet that I put together. So the first thing that I want to say is that there are different views about heaven. Not everybody has the same idea about heaven. There's what I call the street corner philosophy. And that is when and we've all heard somebody say it, is that you make your own heaven and hell right here on earth. And so what do they say? One of the songs, I think it was Melissa Etheridge saying, heaven is right here on this earth. Then there's the humanistic philosophy. And it says that heaven is a place, and this is the concept that most people probably would like to have of heaven, that heaven is a place where you can have all your desires fulfilled. You know, for instance, you know, I like the one clip that they showed where they were sitting at the table in the restaurant, and the waiter asked them, do you like pasta? Well, I'll give you, what, three pounds of pasta? You know, or do you like cakes? I'll give you 9 cakes. And you can eat pasta and you can eat cake and you won't have to worry about gaining a pound. Boy, I tell you what, that sounds like heaven to me. I would love for heaven to be like that, wouldn't you? Amen. And then there's the atheistic view of heaven. And that is heaven, there is no heaven. When you die, you cease to exist. Then we have reincarnation. People say, well, you are reincarnated over and over again until you reach this place of nirvana or perfection. Then there is our good friends, the Jehovah Witnesses, and they say only 144,000 is going to heaven, and everybody else will go to this place on earth called paradise. Some people say that heaven is just a state of mind. Scientology says that there's not a literal heaven, it's just a state of mind. And then what I believe today is the correct view of heaven is that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Everyone who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior go to a place of magnificent beauty where God abides. That's heaven. Let's unpack that today. Heaven is a place where God is. And this is brought home when we think of the titles of heaven. There's many references that we hear in songs and other things to heaven, but the scripture gives us three key references or biblical titles for heaven. In Hebrews 12, it's called the city of God. In 2 Corinthians 12 and Revelation 2, it's called paradise. And Jesus in John 14 called it the Father's house. Now, notice what I want you to notice, and this is the most powerful thing. Don't miss this in this message about heaven today, because this is important for you to understand about your loved ones that have died and gone on to heaven. And it's this. In two of those references, the city of God and the Father's house, it lets us know that the presence of God is there. What is the most precious thing? What is the most valuable thing about heaven? The most valuable thing about heaven is that the presence of God is there. Somebody said that the worst thing about hell is the best thing about heaven. What is the worst thing about hell? The worst thing about hell is that God is not there. The best thing about heaven is that we will be in the presence of an almighty God. Is heaven a literal place? Well, Jesus spoke of it as a literal place. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Stephen referred to it as a literal place. When he was being stoned, he looked up and he said, "I saw heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Paul says, "If this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Amen. Amen. You know, actually, what Paul is using there is a term. Paul was a tent maker, and Paul realized that when they traveled using a tent, what they had to do was set the tent up, and then what they would do would be break the tent down and put it away in a little knapsack and then carry it to the next place. And so what Paul says is that when this earthly tent is broken down and we fold it up and we tuck it into the coffin or however we take care of the body at death, when we tuck it away, he says that there is another building that the soul goes to that's eternal in the heavens. So just think that our loved ones, that when they have passed away, that even though their body was broke down, that God took them to a place called heaven. He took them somewhere into the very presence of God. And then John described it as a literal place. Now, where is heaven? Where is heaven? And I don't have this in the overhead. I have it in your notes, but it's not on the overhead. The Bible speaks of three heavens. The first heaven we see is where the birds fly, where the clouds are. That's the first heaven. Then there is the second heaven. And the second heaven is where the planets and all the stars are. And Paul says that he was caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So we see that there are three heavens. The first heaven is where the birds fly. The second heaven, the planets and the stars. And the third heaven is the very place where God resides. Now, this blows me away to think about it, is that heaven is not in a dimension that we can access. Because if the third heaven was somewhere beyond, and I believe that the third heaven is somewhere outside of the first and second heavens, if the third heaven was somewhere, watch this now, this is deep. I'm getting deep in the message today. If the third heaven was somewhere out there where we could access it, then it really wouldn't be heaven. If you could get on a rocket ship, no matter how long it would take you, and say, okay, I'm going through the first heaven. I see the little birdies. I see the clouds. I'm going through the second heaven. I can see the planets and the stars. And eventually, if I go long enough and I go far enough, I'll reach heaven. Not heaven, just think, it's in another dimension altogether. And the only way that you can get to this dimension is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That physically, that you can't do anything. You could build the fastest spaceship that would ever travel, that would take you beyond the regions of man's known existence. And it would take you there in a matter of days, and it still wouldn't get you to heaven. That shows you the power of God. And so where is heaven at? We know that there is the third heaven that is out there somewhere, but it's not in a dimension that we can access through the physical realm. So where is heaven? It's in another dimension, another space, and another time. What is heaven like? Well, the first thing we see is that heaven is indescribable. Paul said that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Heaven is a place that when Paul saw it. See, that's why. Now, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I know I'm stepping on some theology, not biblical theology, but self-theology today. You know, that's why sometimes when people come back and they say they were in heaven, and then they try to describe what heaven is like. Well, if you can totally describe heaven, then I don't really think you were there. Because it's indescribable. You can't describe heaven. Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven, and he said that I couldn't. There was things that went on there that was beyond my comprehension, that was beyond my imagination. And when this takes place, it blows our mind. And that's why when we lose a loved one and we weep and we cry for a loved one, we need to weep, and we need to cry for a loved one. But when that loved one has gone to heaven, watch this now. I'm going to help somebody out now. I'm going to help somebody out. That when that loved one has gone to heaven, we're not weeping for them. Come on now. You're not weeping. When I lost my mother, or not lost her, when she passed away, as much as I cried and shed a tear, I wasn't crying for my mother. You think after my mother got here that she wanted to come back to this earth? I believe Lazarus got a little attitude with Jesus. That here he was in heaven, experiencing all the glory and all the majesty of heaven, and Jesus said, come forth. I wouldn't have been too happy about that. And so your loved one, the only reason The only reason that they would even want to come back is to let you know that they're all right. I know when I pass away, don't cry for me. You know, cry for yourself. Well, Reverend Glaze, man, you know, he was all right, you know, and we're going to miss him. See, that's you. But your loved one has gone to a place of eternal beauty that's indescribable, and that's also a place of extravagance. In the book of Revelation, look at Revelation chapter 21. And John talks about this new Jerusalem. In Revelation 21, and some people say that heaven is the new Jerusalem, and some people say, well, the new Jerusalem and heaven are different. But the point that I want to make is that the new Jerusalem is out of heaven, and I think a lot of similarities between the heaven and the new Jerusalem are alike. But look what he says in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He said that this sight was so beautiful that the only comparison that I could liken it to is a beautiful bride that spends all that time on her dress and her shoes and her hair and her makeup and does everything that she can to make herself look the best and the most beautiful that she can to walk down that aisle. John said, I saw this city and it was so adorned, it was so beautiful, I couldn't describe it, but if I could give an analogy, it would be like a bride who came forth adorned for her husband. And in this city, he said he saw streets that were made of gold. In this city, he said he saw gates made of pearls. He said walls of pure jasper. He said there were stones of all kind that radiated throughout the city. There was a man who died, and he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I was a rich man. He said, can I take some gold bars with me when I go to heaven? And him and God got into a little disagreement. And finally, God said, well, okay, if that's what you want to do. So he got his little suitcase. And when he went to heaven, he took his gold bars and he met St. Peter at the gate. And St. Peter said, hey, what you got in the bag? And he opened it up and he showed him these gold bars. And Peter said, oh, man, that's just pavement. That's what we walk on down here. Can you imagine the thing that we hold valuable and we hold expensive, God puts it on the street and lets us walk on it. There was a little girl who was taking a walk one evening with her father, and she looked up at the heavens, and they were so beautiful and so magnificent, and the little girl said this, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side look like? Wow. If the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side look like? Heaven is a place that's indescribable. Heaven is a place of elegance and magnificent beauty. Oh, can you see? I can picture my mother right now, right? Just in this place, in this most beautiful place. And I don't know if it's a field of grass with a sunshine, or you walk down a long field, or I don't know, but I know one thing, that my mother is in a place unlike she has ever experienced here before on this earth. A place of elegance and a place of extravagance. And she's just enjoying herself. And my wife and I, you know, my wife and I, we talk sometimes, and you know, my wife and I, we say, man, can you imagine my mom and your mama? They died the same year. Can you imagine that they're up in heaven and having a conversation and fellowshipping and just enjoying? You know, my mother-in-law made pottery. She was known all around the country and maybe even around the world for her pottery that she made. And can you imagine, here she was an expert at making pottery. And I've still got, we still got some of the pieces at our house that she made when she was alive. Man, they are invaluable now, valuable. People are trying to get her stuff. And can you imagine, here she made all this pottery, and now she's in heaven looking and appreciating all the workmanship and the craftsmanship of the extravagant place called heaven. What is heaven like? It's a place of extravagance and elegance. Well, who is in heaven? Well, there's the Father. There's Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to read all these scriptures. You can read them for yourself. I'm just letting you know who's there. The Holy Spirit is there. There are angels there. And the saints are there. The Bible is very clear that the saints are there. What activities will we do in heaven? Now, let me share this with you, because, you know, some people think that in heaven we're going to grow wings and fly around playing a harp. Some other people think that we're going to float around on a cloud. Some people, as you saw in the clip that I played earlier, think that you're going to come back and you're going to be a guardian for people in your family, people that you love. Then others think that heaven is going to be a boring place. I'm reminded of the story of that Mark Twain wrote of this lady called Miss Watson. And she was, you know, particular, and, you know, she was highfalutin. And she was talking to Huckleberry Finn. And she was telling Huckleberry Finn about heaven. And she said that this is a good place. And in order to get there, you got to live a good life to get there. And she said that all we'll ever do when we get there is just fly around on a cloud and play a harp forever and ever and ever. And Huckleberry Finn thought, well, you know, I don't know if I really want to go to a place like that. And he knew of his good friend, Tom Sawyer, who was a rascal. And he knew that he wouldn't be there. But he asked the lady, do you think Tom Sawyer will be there? And she said, no, Tom Sawyer won't be there. And Huckleberry Finn replied, well, I wouldn't want to go anywhere that Tom is not going to be. Because he knew that Tom was going where the action was, right? Tom was where all the life was. Well, you know what? Sad to say, that's the concept that a lot of people have about heaven. Is that it's a boring place. It's a place, you know, how in the world can you just, man, you're going to get tired of playing the harp forever and ever. You're going to get tired of floating around on the cloud trying to sell Philly cream cheese forever and ever. You know, you're going to get tired of doing that. It's going to get boring doing that. But let me tell you something. Heaven is anything but boring. Turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We're setting the story straight this morning. Hollywood don't have it right. Let's set it straight today. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, the psalmist says to God. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What does this mean? In God's presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Heaven, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Heaven. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Heaven. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchor in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.